Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Poor Emily Dickinson, writing her little poems on the back of gingerbread recipes in her bedroom in Amherst, Massachusetts, hoping no one would ever see them or her, a spinster recluse, an apparition flitting about in white. While her brother Austin and his wife Sue entertained next door, Emily, poor thing, was a shriveling, stern-faced wallflower. Not. In the new film Wild Nights with Emily, Dickinson, played by Molly Shannon, is a woman desperate to be published, passionate for her work, as she tells Atlantic Monthly editor Thomas Higginson, played by Brett Gelman.
If I feel physically like the top of my head is taken off, I know that is poetry. If it makes my body so cold no fire can ever warm me, I know that is poetry.
Oh, and her speaking is poetry, except he doesn't get it.
When I read your poems, so many of them make me feel unclear. I believe poetry should leave you with a trembling sensation. But when I read your poetry, Miss Dickinson, I'm left feeling I'm not sure what.
Well, Emily Dickinson is also passionate for her lifelong love, her aforementioned brother's wife, Sue, a childhood friend who conveniently married him so that she and Emily could live next door to each other and carry on their then forbidden love. And guess what? This is all just about true. Wild Nights with Emily star Molly Shannon joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Hi there.
Hi, Robin.
And she is with her friend since their days at NYU, writer and director Madeline Olneck. Madeline, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much, Robin.
And Molly, I want to start with you. Did you know about Emily's airbrushed history?
No. You know, I, like a lot of people, just grew up with that notion that she was a very frightened woman who spoke to people through walls with no desire to have her voice heard in her lifetime, wanting her poetries burned upon her death. So I have to be honest, I wasn't that interested in her. I was like, ooh. And then Madeline and I, with this movie, really wanted to tell the truth about her life, that these notions that we have about her just are not true.
Yeah. Well, Madeline, you've said you were an English major in college and didn't even know Dickinson was a lesbian poet. Why is this story important for people to know, that she did want to be published, that she did have passion?
One reason it's important for me is she's held up as one of our country's greatest poets. And a lot of people look to her and they look to how she lived to give them a path. Mm. What was interesting was that after the first book of Emily Dickinson's poems came out, and this was in the 1890s, women just started showing up at the Dickinson homestead and asking, is this where the lady poet lived? Mm. Because they wanted to look and see, literally, how did she live that she was able to create these great poems? How did she do it?
Right.
But it's also important because we're having a cultural moment, I think, since the election of Donald Trump, we're willing to acknowledge as a society that we're all paying a real price for not having truthful and genuine images of women. And a lot of that happens in history, how histories have been erased of women. By restoring Emily, we understand so much about what her journey was like as a writer, and she becomes an actual person to us as opposed to
a myth.
A very twisted, yes, myth.
Well, and you say part of the problem is that the image that was given of, was of someone who didn't want her work to be published, kind of kept her head down, was a good little girl, didn't claim her stuff as being any good. And, of course, that's not true at all, and that's not the message that you want to send to young women. So let's explain right at the start what scholars now think happened here. And first we'll listen to another scene, because the centerpiece of your film is Emily's passionate relationship with Sue, her sister-in-law, Susan Gilbert, played in the film by Susan Ziegler. In this scene, Emily asks Susan to be more careful about their relationship. Let's listen.
I have to be more careful?
You are the one who writes the poems, puts it in ink. Sue forevermore. You think that has another meaning?
Sue forevermore. That hardly speaks to the larger audience.
So there's Emily trying to say, no, it speaks to the larger audience. No, it doesn't. It speaks to Sue. But there was another woman that began having an affair with Austin, Emily's brother, Sue's husband. Her name is Mabel. And she's the one who takes over the letters and poems of Emily Dickinson after she dies and literally erases the Sue.
She also often, when she would come across a word she didn't like in Emily's poems, she would just change that word. Mm-hmm. And she put titles on the poems in Emily Dickinson.
She never wanted titles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now science is allowing us to understand new things about historical figures with their spectrographic technologies, which is used to examine the erasures that were in her poems, that Sue's name was actually erased.
Yeah.
And so it just teaches us all this stuff now that we might not have known about some great historical figures.
Yeah. Well, Molly Shannon, you have to play her in the film as both narratives, both Emily Dickinson's, one as seen through the eyes of Mabel later as she went on the speaking tour and was telling people about the Emily Dickinson that was the recluse, and we see flashes to you in this with a stern face. And then the other Emily Dickinson that's revealed by these letters and, you know, in this fun, passionate relationship with Sue. There's moments like she comes in and tells Sue, you know, I just haven't been able to write any poems, haven't been able to work. And then she starts pulling them, out of her hair?
Mm-hmm.
Out of parts of her dress where they're all over her on these little scraps of paper. Talk about, you know, how you wanted to be Emily Dickinson. How you wanted to embody her.
Well, I think she was so hungry to be published. You know, it's important to shed light on the fact that Emily Dickinson was this super gifted writer who was experiencing rejection at many levels. So this could now serve as an empowering role model to modern female writers with similar struggles currently. She was really actively, you know, making little poetry books, meeting with Higginson, just really hungry to get published. But this image that we had of her as if she was a frightened woman who spoke to people through walls is just not correct. And I think the idea that we have of her, that she didn't want to be published, sabotages women today who are struggling to get their voices heard. When in reality, she's a real LGBTQ role model, trailblazer, hero.
Well, and yes. I thought of you because first of all, we know you from not just your films, the comedy Divorce, the drama Other People, but of course Saturday Night Live. And there's one moment where your character Emily Dickinson is meeting with the Atlantic editor in her sitting room. And I swear, Molly Shannon, I could see a glimpse of your cheerleader.
Oh, that's so funny.
When she got excited. But also, we know that the early days of SNL, it was tough for the women. I mean, most women, no matter what field, you've experienced this, but did you relate to it on that level?
I really did, Robin. When I first started SNL, I had actually, Madeline and I went to NYU Drama School together, and I created Mary Catherine Gallagher in an exercise. Madeline directed and wrote this show called The Follies. And she was like, just make up a character and come through the door. Make up any character you want, and I'm going to be this tough director. And I just made up, hi, I'm Mary Catherine Gallagher. And that's how the character was created. So to make a long story short, years later, cut to, I'd been developing that character after NYU in stage shows. And then when I got to Saturday Night Live, I knew that character worked because I'd done it in a stage show. But I was like trying to get it on air, and I would show the character to writers, and I'd show the sketch, and they'd go, you know, the reason this can't work is because this isn't really a joke. So I was a lot like Emily Dickinson. And then I brought it to another guy, and I said, I do this character in my show, and they go, it's not going to work because of this. They ended up putting it in the show, but I think they didn't really know what it was going to be physically. So I remember for the dress rehearsal, it was like at the bottom of the, you know, they put the sketches they think are the hottest at the top, and then they put the stuff they're not as into at the bottom. So it was at the very bottom, and I went on, and it went great. It just went so well. And then I remember going to Lorne Michaels' office between dress and air, when you see what's made it onto the live show, you see the cuts and then what's made it. And Mary Catherine Gallagher got moved from the bottom of the show to the top. And I was like, yes. So the scene where Emily is trying to sell herself to Higginson, of course I relate to that. I relate to her hunger, you know. She sent 90 poems to Higginson, who was the editor of the Atlantic Monthly. She made DIY poetry books. She sent a huge amount of work in the mail to the Roberts brothers. She was up against the male establishment, the oppressive, sexist establishment. And so we really examined this sexism through the lens of comedy.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Well, two things. First of all, you might stay in your room if that was happening to you, if you were Emily Dickinson and you knew you were Emily Dickinson and most of your stuff wasn't getting published. And ladies and gentlemen, we have just drawn the line from Mary Catherine Gallagher to, you know, hope is the thing with feathers. And I just, we talk about what happened, but can we just take a second? Do you each have, are there lines of hers? Are there, you know, having made the film, is there, you know, poetry that just jumps to mind?
I can wade grief, whole pools of it. I'm used to that, but the least push of joy breaks up my feet, and I tip drunken. Let no pebble smile. 'Twas the new liquor, that was all.
You must let me go first, Sue, because I live in the sea always and know the road. I would have drowned twice to save you sinking, dear, if I could only have covered your eyes. You wouldn't have seen the water. That is the most beautiful poem. Mm. That's my favorite.
And that's Molly Shannon, the star, the Emily Dickinson in Wild Nights with Emily. We've also been speaking with writer-director and Molly's friend from NYU days, Madeline Olneck. Thank you so much. Can't wait to see what you guys do next. Thank you.